TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
11 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com on your Friday as we get ready to start Memorial Day weekend. Well, last night, Republican candidate Greg Gianforte won his election up in Montana. Now, you might remember this little encounter that Gianforte had with a reporter. Where are they?
Yes, you know, you were waiting to make your decision about health care until you saw the bill and it just came out.
And what and we'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah, but there's not going to be time. I'm just curious if you have the
speak
right
with
now.
Shane, please.
But you don't.
Sick and tired of you guys. The last guy that came here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. The last guy did the same thing. You were the guardian?
Yes, and you just broke my glasses.
You, the last guy did the same damn thing.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
Get the hell out of here.
You'd like me to get the hell out of here. I'd also like to call the police.
I'd also like to call the police. I'm going to call the police.
Well, the audio sounds pretty bad. It really does. However, we're not getting the entire story. Now, there was this one Fox News reporter said she was there. She saw it all. Gianforte grabbed this reporter from The Guardian by the neck and slammed him to the ground. That's what was said all day yesterday up until around 2 o'clock, maybe 2:30 or 3. Then this reporter from Fox News started walking back. That's, well, I didn't actually see him grab the reporter by the neck. I didn't actually see that. And now we're actually finding out the full story about what went on. So in a statement, they are blaming this reporter, Jacobs, for the altercation, saying that he entered the office without permission. He aggressively shoved the recorder into Gianforte's face and started asking badgering questions. Jacobs was asked to leave. After asking Jacobs to lower the recorder, Jacobs declined. Gianforte then attempted to grab the phone that was being pushed in his face. Jacobs grabbed Gianforte's wrist and spun away from Greg, pushing them both to the ground. So I guarantee you, when this goes to court, and it probably will, when this goes to court, Gianforte is going to be cleared of these charges. Now, this is NPR saying this. NPR, National Progressive Radio, saying this. That's their report. But yet all day yesterday, all we heard was Gianforte body slammed this guy. He body slammed him. He's like he was a WWE wrestler. He body slammed him. But we don't get the full story. That's why people cannot stand the media in this country anymore. We have had it. We just can't stomach these people because they give what they want to give. They don't give the full story. They give the story that they think is going to make the biggest headlines, such as President Trump colluded with the Russians. What the media is not reporting is there is no evidence whatsoever in any way, shape, or form that the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians. Oh, well, Trump tried to obstruct justice. No evidence of that. Testimony before Congress is saying that it didn't happen. But yet, it doesn't make the headlines. It's no wonder people are sick and tired of the media. No wonder. So that's what's going on. So Gianforte won last night by about 7 points over his opponent, who, by the way, is a singing, crooning cowboy up there in Montana. And he actually, this guy is so awesome. He used to play guitar and sing at nudist colonies with his daughter.
Yeah.
That's well, what dad doesn't? Hey, honey, want to go to the nudist colony and put on a show? Yeah, dad, that'd be great. He also had a pretty big tax bill that went unpaid for a long time until he started to run for Congress, and then all of a sudden his tax bill got paid, probably by the DNC.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. 21 minutes past 7 o'clock on your Friday morning. I know I am so glad the weekend is here, too. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Well, it looks like Sean Hannity is really feeling the heat. Now, we saw this. The same thing happened with Bill O'Reilly. There were unsubstantiated reports that Bill O'Reilly had sexually harassed some female members of his staff there at Fox News. Now, none of this ever went to court, all right? They just settled in order to make some of these lawsuits go away, which is, you know, what you do. We don't want to drag this out in court. We just want to settle. Here you go. Take your money and get out of here. So it was reported, Media Matters reported this, and Bill O'Reilly no longer at Fox News. Well, now, seven companies have announced that they will no longer advertise on Sean Hannity's nightly show over there on Fox News. Cars.com has pulled out. And all of this is because of the information or the investigation, some people say conspiracy theory, that Hannity was talking about on his television show about the murder of Seth Rich, the DNC worker who was found shot outside of his home, where the police in Washington, D.C. said that it was a robbery gone bad. However, he wasn't robbed. That was, kind of a strange thing there. So Cars.com have pulled out. Let's give you a few others that have pulled out of Sean Hannity's television program. Cars.com, Lisa Sleep, they're an e-commerce mattress brand. Peloton, a New York-based startup that sells internet-connected fitness bicycle, because I want one of those. The United Services Automobile Association, USAA, they're a financial services company, and they give specialized rates to military families. Crown Plaza, hotels and resorts. Ring, a Santa Monica-based company that markets outdoor home security system. And Casper Mattresses have all pulled out of the Sean Hannity show over on Fox News. So, I wonder how many have pulled out of the Rachel Maddow show. Wonder how many of these advertisers have pulled their advertising dollars from CNN. Wonder how many pulled out of, remember when Brian Williams said that, you know, lied and said that he was in a plane that was shot at, you know, over there. And I wonder how many of them pulled out of that. It's ridiculous. This and all of this is coming from Media Matters. They have started this huge campaign against conservative talk. They started with Bill O'Reilly. Then now they're going after Hannity. I will guarantee you that Tucker Carlson is going to be next, and they've got a checklist. They're just going to go down that checklist until they get to, well, who knows where it's going to end. But the best thing you can do is contact them. That's the best thing you can do. So we'll see where this ends. Fascism. Fascism raising its ugly head in the name of liberalism.
.com.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
20 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250, the other WTMA, WTMA.com. A couple days ago in Manchester, England, a suicide bomber detonated a backpack bomb at an Ariana Grande concert. 60-something people were injured. 22 people were killed in that attack. And there were memorials. There were tributes. There were candles lit. Flowers were laid at the scene. And there was great outrage throughout the world. So where's the outrage with the latest attack? This morning, gunmen opened fire on a bus carrying Coptic Christians traveling just south of Cairo. 24 were killed, 25 were injured. This according to Egyptian state TV. They said that there were between 8 and 10 attackers dressed in military uniforms, according to witnesses. Now, no group is immediately claiming responsibility for this attack, which you are going to be hard-pressed to find in the media right now. But Egypt's Coptic Christians have become a preferred target by ISIS. The attack came on the eve of the holy Muslim month of Ramadan. Interesting. 24 people were slaughtered this morning by suspected members of ISIS, and no outrage whatsoever. I don't see breaking news. I'm not seeing anybody with breaking news. I'm not seeing anybody with special reports. I'm not saying, oh, there's a CNN. They're talking about the Manchester attack. The Manchester attack. So where's the outrage now? 24 Coptic Christians were killed. To me, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. How they treat things. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Would love to talk to you about anything that's going on this morning. And don't forget, coming up in just a little bit, I'm going to have some tickets to go see the River Dogs play any 2017 home game this year. You'll be able to do that. Now, they're going to be back at home. I know tomorrow night they're going to be taking on Greenville. This is a pretty cool thing they got. They're going to be throwing out 1,000 T-shirts. 1,000 T-shirts. That's going to be very, very cool. So you don't want to miss out on that. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Oh, there's a new study out. This is interesting. There's a new study out that says that, I'm going to hold this for just a second, because I think you're going to find this pretty fascinating. Let's go to Bono and talk to JD this morning. JD, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I wanted to touch on something that seems to be lacking a lot in the mainstream media,
mm-hmm.
and that is journalistic integrity.
Yeah.
Let's take this situation in Montana.
Right.
The politician is trying to go about the things that he needs take care of, and a journalist comes on property without being invited.
Right.
Well,
stormed into the event.
That's trespassing, mm-hmm. number one. Number two, he takes and begins to pursue an interview or whatever, and is very aggressive, shoving the phone in the guy's face.
Mm-hmm.
He's asked to leave and refuses to.
Right.
That's loitering.
Yeah.
Then when the politician tries to get the phone out of his face, he grabs the politician's wrist. That's assault.
Right, yes.
Now, if we're going to handle this correctly, and what this politician needs to do is file charges against this reporter.
Absolutely.
However, this politician is a Republican. So we already know what happens with Republicans. They don't have backbone.
They don't have backbones. They also don't have the rights that a lot of the folks on the left have. I mean, here's what, if he filed charges against this reporter, they would have been screaming. And I agree with you. JD, let them scream. Absolutely.
It would be wonderful to get a different story out there where Republicans and conservatives actually stand up for what they believe in and for their rights.
Yeah, I agree.
We have rights, too. Is this not the United States? Reporters do not have journalists, and we both work in one fashion, mm-hmm. form or another. We both work in journalism.
Yeah,
you know that whenever you wish to get an interview with a politician or a business person or whatever, you call to set up that interview.
Exactly. You take the right channels. Yes.
You go you do what is appropriate so that you can get the interview that you desire and be able to have a story. Let's look at I just recently saw something about a news broadcast where they were talking about how Donald Trump, for instance, decided that he was going to ban all Muslims.
Right. Yeah.
They took it from his campaign when he was making a speech, and what they did, he did say the phrase "ban all Muslims," but they cut it there and they stopped the statement at that point.
Yeah.
What follows after that is him saying, "Until we know
exactly
their intentions,
exactly
and why they want to come to our country." We need to vet them that are coming.
That's
from
right.
Another country.
That's right.
More thoroughly.
Well, but that's the thing. I mean, JD, just to get to your point, there is no journalistic integrity anymore. I appreciate you calling in. I got to hit a quick break here. We got a lot of people on hold. We'll get to your calls coming up next on the Big Talker WTMA.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
11 minutes past 8 o'clock on your Friday morning. Let's go to the phones and talk to Randy. He's out in Ladson. Randy, how are you?
Charlie, a pleasant good morning, sir.
Yes, sir. You too. What's up?
Maybe you have spoken to this previously and I just simply missed it.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes when it comes to health care,
yeah,
we have all these millions and millions and millions of people that want government health care. Hell, as far as I know, Charlie, the government's been in health care for 60 years with the veterans.
Yeah.
And they ain't done worth a blankety blank.
Right, yeah.
What in the world makes anyone think they can take over health care for the entire country?
I don't get it either. I really don't, Randy. You know, you see them always talking about socialized medicine. Well, all you got to look for as a great model is what's going on with our VA.
Correct.
And the health care that that our veterans are getting.
And the government has been running it since day one, and
yeah.
It stopped.
Right. I mean, anytime you want to really mess something up, you just get the what do they say? You think health care is expensive now? Wait until it's free. Randy, I appreciate you calling in. Let's talk with our buddy over at News 2. We got Brad Franco on with us this morning. Brad, how are you?
Rocks, Cleveland.
Oh. Little Cleveland Rocks, huh?
Yeah, a little caught up, huh?
Yeah, yeah, not bad at all. So, LeBron, man, passing Michael Jordan in postseason points.
Oh, yep, and you know what's funny is that he hates being labeled a scorer.
Really?
I think it bothered him a little bit that he surpassed Michael Jordan on the scoring list.
Hmm.
He sees himself more as a facilitator.
Uh-huh.
That's well. He'd rather, you know, he's always said that, you know, I want kids to say at the end of the day that, you know, I made the extra pass or I made the right basketball
right.
play because LeBron did.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really cool way of thinking about things. So
yeah, definitely.
I'm not super confident about their chances against Golden State, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, hey, we got any further update about this fire they're reporting out at Academic Magnet High School?
No, I've been seeing we're reaching out to fire officials. So far, we haven't heard anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a feeling if there was a lot more to it, we would move back right away. You know, this time of year, the air conditionings are cranking up and things like that. So you get that quite a bit. So we'll see. I haven't heard anything saying that they arrived and found anything. So we'll keep our eye on it. I don't think there's a whole lot to be concerned about, though. It doesn't sound like, at least.
Right. What else you guys working on over at News 2?
So we're looking into, you know, another carriage incident.
No, what happened?
Charleston yesterday. Well, police say that the horses weren't spooked.
Mm-hmm.
Something had to happen for that driver to fall off. We just don't know what it was.
Yeah.
Some of the witnesses said it didn't look like that driver was in the greatest of shape when medics took him to MUSC.
Huh.
There were also reports that the horses smashed into a couple of cars afterward. So there's a lot more information that needs to be surfaced here
right.
on exactly what happened and what caused it. And, you know, it's just another incident that the carriage companies have to deal with.
And of course, right now, any incident that happens is going to get all the scrutiny in the world put on it.
Yep. And now we're getting close to these hot days. I mean, it's going to be in the low to mid 90s here over the weekend, and then next week, Josh and I were joking this morning because highs in the upper 80s. But I said, is that like a better cool down kind of upper 80s, or
right?
It's going to be so oppressively humid, it's going to feel like you wish it were in the 90s and a little less humid.
Yeah.
It's the latter, so.
Right. Oh, yeah, and we know how that humidity gets here.
Yep.
Threatening letters sent to local police here.
Yeah, so some of the police department got that letter, you know, just kind of random warnings about specific groups of people.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was no threat or anything in it, so I don't know how much... how deeply they're going to look into it. There was no fingerprint left on it, and it's the only one that Somerville received.
Right. So
it came from Nashville, Tennessee. That's about the gist of it. So some Looney Tune.
You know, we got Memorial Day weekend. That's upon us, and everybody's going to be, you know, a lot of folks are going to be out at the beaches. What is, I mean, my gosh, these Portuguese man of war. I mean, it just seems like we haven't seen this before, and all of a sudden they're everywhere.
Yep. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to take a picture, find one on the internet, take a picture of it, and make sure it's on your phone so that, you know, you can show your kids, your visitors, your friends, anybody who's not from here, even if you're from here, if you've never seen one, you may want to take a look. They're pretty obvious. I mean, they're brightly colored in most cases.
Yeah.
So it's worth having that as a reference to pay attention to, especially the ones that are washed up on shore. Now, obviously, the ones, if they're under the water.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot you could do with it because
this
isn't, you know, St. Thomas. We don't have clear water.
That's right.
So
you can't
see
him.
You just got to be aware of that.
All right, buddy. We appreciate it.
Did you, by the way, see Carl Quintanilla, who I follow on Twitter because he's super busy on there, and he has some funny stuff time and time again. So he posted an excerpt from Al Franken's new book.
Yeah.
And the quote is, under a bullet point, the funniest Republican in the Senate. And it says, Lindsey Graham in 2016 ran for president and found himself somewhere around 15th in a field of 17. Running into him in the senator's bathroom, I told him, Lindsey, if I were voting in the Republican primaries, I'd vote for you. Without hesitation, he replied, that's my problem.
That is really good. That is really good. Humor from Al Franken and Lindsey Graham. All right, buddy.
Expect it from Al Franken for sure.
Right, yeah.
And people who've talked to Lindsey Graham, if you talk to him one-on-one, you should expect it from him then, too.
That's right. All right, buddy. You have a great Memorial Day weekend, man.
Too.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:25, 25 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. I don't know if you guys saw that video. I mean, it was all over social media yesterday of President Donald Trump kind of pushing his way through, or it looked to be. If you just look at it, you know, take a quick look at it, you see it looks like he moved this other member of NATO, this NATO official, out of the way so that he could get to the front of the line for this photo op that they were having. Well, again, things aren't always as they seem, are they? No. If you really take a good close look at that video and watch it, first of all, the guy that he moved out of the way, you know, social media has gone crazy over this thing. So it was a video of an interaction between the president and the prime minister of Montenegro. In the video, the president comes up from behind, and then he said he shoves Montenegro's Dusko Markovic to get in front of the group of world leaders. Trump then adjusts his jacket. Well, what they're not telling you in this story is that, guess what? The lineup for this picture has already been determined. Mr. Trump, you will stand in front. This leader will stand by you. This person will stand. So he comes up and he kind of pushes our Markovic out of the way. And Markovic was kind of like, wait, what's going on? And then he sees it's Donald Trump, and he smiles at him and reaches around and grabs Donald, the president, around the waist, kind of gives him a pat on the back. It was a very lighthearted, very nice thing. But some people are really going way beyond this. In fact, what's her name? The lady, J.K. Rowling. She went on and she said, "You tiny, tiny little man." And that's what she said, without knowing anything about what actually happened. But if you go back and look at the video, then you know it was no big deal. It was no big deal. It was just the media again trying to make a mountain out of the molehill as far as President Trump is concerned. And hey, why not? Why wouldn't they do this? Brand new study out from Brunel University in London. They have determined that men who are physically weak are more likely to favor socialist policies. Now, this is just confirmation over what we have known for so long, right? So the researchers there have studied things like height, weight, overall physical strength, and bicep circumference, along with their views on redistribution of wealth and income equality. Now, this was a study that was published in the Evolution and Human Behavioral Journal. They found that weaker men are more likely to favor socialist policies than stronger men. Brunel University's Michael Price says it may be a product of evolutionary psychology. He says this is about our Stone Age brains in a modern society. Our minds evolved in environments where strength was a big determinant of success. Yes. If you find yourself in a body not threatened by other males, if you feel you can win a competition for status, then maybe you start thinking inequality is pretty good. Let's juxtapose that, sir, Dr. Price. Let's say if you are physically slight, if you are small of stature, if you aren't threatening to other folks, maybe it's just that you think that the world is a little more unequal. Maybe if you don't have a strong physical presence, maybe you think that everybody else is out to get you. There are two ways of looking at this, aren't there?
1250 WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 20 minutes until 9 o'clock on your Friday morning. And I tell you what I got right now. I got four tickets to give away to any 2017 Charleston River Dog home game out at the Joe. I'm going to take caller number 7 right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. You will pick yourself up a family four-pack of tickets to get out there and see the River Dogs at the Joe. As I scroll through the callers, boy, these phones lit up quickly this morning. Folks getting ready to get out there and have a great Memorial Day weekend. Let's go ahead and go to caller number 7 right now and say, good morning. Who's this?
This is Alicia.
Alicia, how are you on this Memorial Day Friday?
Oh, so happy to be off from work today and Monday. Yippee!
Very nice. Yippee. Well, now you just picked yourself up four tickets to go see the River Dogs play. How about that?
That's wonderful. I love it.
All right. You have yourself a great time, and I'm going to put you on hold. John Quincy is going to get some information from you. Have you ever known anybody who's just grouchy? I know my wife is like, yes, I do know someone who is quite grouchy. Well, this guy down in Port St. Lucie, Florida, I don't know if you've seen this. Port St. Lucie, Florida. There was a little girl's birthday going on, 1-year-old girl having a birthday. And, of course, a bunch of kid friends, I guess, from school in the neighborhood came out. They were having a little birthday party there in the backyard. And they had rented, I suppose, one of these bounce houses. You know, those things. You get the little ones you're getting in, you know, you can put in your backyard and stuff like that. So there's a video showing the kids enjoying themselves. They're in the bounce house. They're celebrating the 1-year-old birthday when all of a sudden the bounce house starts to deflate. And people are like, what's going on? So the parents rush over. There's about a dozen kids who are trapped inside this bounce house. And then they go back and they look at the, well, then they find out that it had been unplugged. That this bounce house, you know, runs off a fan. So it had been unplugged. So they go back and they look at the home has a security camera outside of it. So they go back and look at the camera. One of the neighbors, this grouchy old guy, I can only imagine he's a grouch, he walks up alongside the house, unplugs the bounce house from the outlet, and then he just walks away. Now, once they figured out it was unplugged, they plugged it back in and it inflated. But two of these kids had to be taken to a hospital. I don't know of any injuries that actually occurred, but two of the kids were taken to the hospital. The homeowner identified the suspect as one of the neighbors. So police showed up at this guy's door. He said he told them that his attorney said not to speak to the police and slammed the front door. So what, you had already called your attorney when that happened, sir? Shortly afterwards, he appeared at his front door and told police that he would contact them once he spoke to his lawyer. Oh, I assure you, there's going to be a lot more than your lawyer involved in this, sir. Can you imagine doing that? That reminds me of that shooting that we had a couple days ago where this guy just, apparently there were some kids playing outside. He got aggravated with these kids and popped off a couple of shots. He hit one woman in the back, hit another guy. Now, this is scary. Hit another guy in the chest and in the ear. Apparently, bullet grazed his earlobe. So that means it was what? An inch away from being a fatal situation? So I don't know who this guy was that fired those shots, but boy, he needs to go to jail. He needs to go to jail. If you use a gun, if you shoot a gun like that, not in self-defense, not in protecting yourself, but if you fire a gun at somebody, you need to go to jail for a long, long, long time.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 8 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Now, Mick Mulvaney yesterday did a pretty good job at explaining these cuts in the Medicaid and Medicare program under the new budget that was proposed by the Republicans. And I thought I thought he laid out a pretty good case. He said Washington, D.C. is the only place where you can increase spending and still have it considered to be a cut. Now, federal funding for programs that, you know, they say this. I'm reading from the state newspaper here up in Columbia. They say funding for federal programs that aid South Carolina's education system and the state's poor face deep cuts in President Donald Trump's budget proposal, leaving advocates and some state lawmakers warning of dire consequences if Congress advances this plan. South Carolina has a 16.6% poverty rate, is heavily dependent on safety net programs. So here's what Mulvaney was saying yesterday. Listen, we are spending, let's say we're spending $100 this year on these programs, just for the sake of numbers. We're spending $100 this year on these programs. Next year, we're going to spend $106 on these programs. Okay? But the Congressional Budget Office thinks that you should spend $110 next year on this program. That means you are cutting the budget. That's how they place this. Well, they're making deep cuts. They're making deep cuts. We think they ought to spend. No, they're not cutting anything. We're actually increasing the size of government. We're actually increasing the amount of tax revenue that is going to some of these programs. It's just not growing incrementally like it has been over the past 8 years. And by the way, where has our balanced budget been for the past 8 years? We haven't had one. A lot of years under Obama, we didn't even have a budget. They just spent willy-nilly. and hope that everything worked out. So now the Republicans actually have a budget. It doesn't increase as much as they think it should. So then, therefore, it's a cut. So that means, we'll just use this in average everyday terms. If you make numbers here, if you make $30,000 this year, and you think that you ought to make $40,000 next year, but you only get a $5,000 raise and you make $35,000 next year, therefore you've taken, what, a $5,000 pay cut? Is that how that works? Well, according to the Democrats, that's exactly how it works. Washington, the only place where you can spend more money and consider it to be a cut. Consider it to be a cut. And I was sitting there, you know, yesterday, Mark Sanford was talking about real numbers out there and this, oh, and it was a Goldilocks numbers that the president was doing and how he's not in favor of this budget and all that. And I was just kind of thinking, last night I was sitting backstage at the Black Fedora Theater because I think about this show constantly. It is all consuming. I'm sitting back. I'm getting ready to go on stage to do a performance at the theater, and I'm thinking about the show. So I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, you know what? These Republicans in the House and in the Senate are treating President Trump the same way that they have. No, I'll say even worse than they treated President Obama. Because they don't want to govern. And I'm getting extremely frustrated with these folks up in the House and Senate. They don't want to govern. They want to be the party that complains. They want to sit back and complain that this is. No, let me ask you something. Everybody that's against this budget that the president and the Republicans have proposed. Everybody that's against it, is it better or worse than what we have now? Is it better or worse? Is it worse? Do we cut spending? Do we not grow as fast as we have been in the past? If it's not worse, then why are you complaining? At least something has been done. The healthcare plan, same deal. The folks up there in Washington, D.C., the Republicans, you had 7 years, 7 years to come up with a health care plan that would repeal and replace Obamacare, which has seen unless something major happens, I will never use my insurance. Unless something major happens. And I'm not talking about, you know, I get sick or go to the hospital. Not the hospital, but I go to the doctor and I have to get antibiotics. Maybe I get a sinus infection or something like that. I'm talking, I would literally have to break a femur or have to go to the emergency room for some mishap or something in order to meet my deductible. And even then I'm paying, you know, an ungodly amount. Where if I just put it in a healthcare savings plan, I would probably be paying a lot less. But they've had 7 years to come up with something, and they haven't done a thing. All they want to do is sit back and complain. They don't want to do anything about it. Now, remember, I mean, how many times did they roll over and play dead in the Obama administration? Remember John Boehner? Have we forgotten about him? Just roll over and play dead. But complain about it the whole time. Complain about it the whole time. So I was, and the reason that came up when I was sitting backstage at the theater last night thinking about things is because of the amount of, and I kind of had to laugh yesterday because, I mean, literally, other than about 2 hours a night, not even that, less than 2 hours a night, I spend working on this show. I'm either reading or I'm watching or I'm studying or I'm trying to figure out, formulate an opinion on something. Every waking moment, other than, you know, while I'm eating dinner and watching a little television with Sheila, everything is about this show. My entire life is about this show. And then you put all of that work into it, and I kind of sympathize with President Trump right now. I mean, everything is about this show, and you put so much time and so much energy into the show. And then I get an email yesterday complaining about my grammar. And I just sit back and go, what are you talking about? All right, don't you realize I put in 65 hours this week on this show?
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day. WTMA.